This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the second course of the food show as we plow through it all and try to figure out some great places to dine, ways to make your own home more delicious than it has been. Things that you have eaten or cooked a long time ago that you now feel good just about thinking about them. And all of that, that's what we do on the food show. Give us a call. Tell us about everything you're eating or cooking or otherwise. And you'll find yourself with a better lifestyle. And I think you'll also find a lot more friends. Not that you need any, but there they are. And you can pick the, as you like it, from our little get together at the mess.
The doing things for your friends theme that we started with the cookbook author, which, by the way, highly recommend that book. I told her I would mention it again, and I will, and often, anytime you want to know anything about it. It's called Open Kitchen, and it is entertaining casually for your friends and family. I'll have to get the exact wording of that, you know, that secondary title.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Open Kitchen, and she's right about all the cookbooks that are out there. There are, it's astonishing how many cookbooks there are out there and how really beautiful they are. I mean, they're just works of art. And this one is embossed, which is a big thing right now. And I really think that it's a great book. It's a great book for anybody who, if you would like to try very modern food and in a way that is kind of adventuresome. Like, you know, I cook, but... I don't cook anything really, really dramatic. I mean, I think that I'm a pretty decent cook. But just to give you an idea of what I did yesterday. Yesterday I was hungry. And we have just, the entire refrigerator is full in a way that hurts to look at it. Like, for as long as I can remember, I have had nothing to eat in our refrigerator except old condiments because we always ate out every meal. So this year, 2020, one of the New Year's resolutions was to do more cooking at home because I love to cook at home and I love to eat at home, but we never, ever do it. So this also worked out with my daughter's eating healthier plan. And so the refrigerator is just, it's obscene. It's practically bursting at the seams. So I dug in there yesterday. I was a little bit hungry and it was, you know, half an hour to showtime. So I dug in there and cut up a sweet potato and took two or three slices of an well-over-grilled chicken. It was so over-grilled, it was kind of in the chicken jerky category.
Mm.
It's one of these things where I'm almost tempted to to put it in water and see. It's like almost dehydrated chicken. And I'm tempted to put it in water and see if I can plump it back up to make it a little more edible. But this will give you an idea of what happens sometimes when I just am eating. As a friend's father used to say, to fill a hole. Quote. I love that expression. I asked him if I could use it, and he says, anytime you want. So there I did it again.
Oh, but, you know, excuse me.
Go ahead.
There is one other thing that you like almost as much as those fries, those French fries, and that's your red bubbling in
Mullen chain.
No, no, the hash browns, but cut
you,
you know
Doug.
off of sweet potatoes, and they puff up. Which is one thing I like about it, and they're not so full of anything that you don't want to eat anyway.
Well, I cut the sweet potatoes up, and then I took some broccoli, and I took the vegetables that I had made, which was red peppers, onion, parsley, and mushrooms. And a little poblano that I had smoked on the grill. And then the spinach that I sautéed with garlic. And all of that went into a pan. It didn't have any real rhyme or reason. It was just, these are vegetables. These are good for me.
Did you like it?
I threw it together. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's like if you like vegetables, how far wrong can you go? And I do like vegetables. But this, what I just described, is so far from the cookbook that we just talked about, that I feel like I should try to be a little more ambitious. And I'm going to try some of those recipes. Because I don't ever cook with recipes, but I should. And I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it a little bit. I am inspired by that book to make a little more effort in the kitchen. So I'm going to do that. But I do recommend the book. It's called Open Kitchen by Susan Spungen. And I'm going to look up the secondary title. You know, every book has a title, and then there's like, you know, a little title underneath it. So I have to look at and see what the little title underneath it is. Thank you, subtitle. Doug, do you ever just marvel? I'm afraid to hear his answer on that. Be something like, are you kidding? All the time. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. Here we are. We are awaiting the arrival of Philip Lopez, and I hope that he didn't forget us because I was kind of looking forward to talking to him. We talked to him at an event not long ago. And it was really nice to chat with him. And so I invited him on the show, and he said that he would love to come. So I hope he does come. Open Kitchen inspired. See, she did inspire me. Inspired food for casual gatherings. Inspired food for casual gatherings. That's what it is. I kind of feel like she lives in New York City and in the Hamptons, and I kind of feel that there is not a lot of commonality between her casual gatherings and my casual gatherings, but I still would like to try some of the recipes. I do feel like that would be worthwhile to do.
Well, you know, you start accumulating them, and after a while, you have
casual gatherings.
And you are tempted thereafter to ever get another
casual gathering? Or
and
casual gathering.
And well, you know, once you've hit that point.
Yeah. 260-6368. I wish I could tell you what today was, but I don't know. Because another one of the things that went into the ether in the new nomenu.com is the almanac. And all of these things are going to resettle somewhere. I just don't know where. Because like I said, I'm not running the show. So I'm sort of like a hired hand. I turn my piece in, and I know where to post it, and then it goes somewhere. And
that's you know that there are five things today that is the National Day of.
Oh, good. Good. Hmm. Oracle, tell us.
First of all, it's National Dentist's Day for those of you who have teeth.
Ooh.
Now, it is also National Dress Day for those of you who are in drag.
Give us some food, Doug.
The National Frozen Food Day.
Ah, okay.
Now, that's not all, though. There's National Oreo Cookie Day.
Okay.
And National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day. And there you have it, folks.
Thank you, Doug. White chocolate, I don't
It's not
get.
Really chocolate. I mean, that's this is clear. It's chocolate that is white is not really chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, I
Thank
think we
you.
Can all accept that.
Well, it's cocoa butter, right? What is it?
I don't know, and I don't care because it
I
just doesn't make any
real.
Sense.
They yeah. say it's real, but I don't know if it's real. But white chocolate is like wax to me. It has no taste, really. It's like sweet, and that's it. And I don't know. Sweet is okay, but it's got to have some sort of purpose. That doesn't have a purpose as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, cheesecake, though, on the other hand, now you're talking.
I had a cheesecake last night with a lemon part at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. You
and then
Del Porto.
There was,
I always get to talk about Del Porto.
And some... Also on top of there, you had
some kind of raspberry
sweet...
coulis or something.
No, it was tomato, potato. Oh wait, oh gosh,
strawberries.
Strawberries.
Yeah,
and that was very tasty.
Yeah, the cheesecake, National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day. Tom, I know this will offend your sensibilities.
Me?
But
offensibility?
I think the cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory is really good.
The National?
It's National White Chocolate Cheesecake
yeah.
Day.
Day.
And I think that the cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory is actually really good. Not the white chocolate, but all of the cheesecake there. My particular favorite is the Godiva chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd say that, Tom, because I'm sorry. I know that you probably don't like that idea, but, you know, it is
kind of
good.
I?
The cheesecake there is pretty good.
The cheesecake is a lot better than most people give it credit for.
Oh, well, your cheesecake is really good. But you know what? Your cheesecake is not the only good cheesecake out there. There's a lot of good cheesecake out there.
There better not be, or else nobody would ever want another one.
There's a lot of good cheesecake out there. Speaking of which, it's National Oreo Cookie Day. At the Cheesecake Factory, they have an Oreo cookie crust, or maybe even an Oreo cookie cheesecake.
Maybe even a Beskoff. Here they are.
Like I said, Don, thank you. I think. Actually, Tom, the Biscoff cookie would be a really good crust on a cheesecake.
You know, you're right about that, and I was about to do one, and then I forgot where I left the thing.
If
the whole
you
box
did that
of them.
For like a Thanksgiving cheesecake,
it would have been
that
great.
Would be a good cheesecake.
It really would be. And using it
a
as the crust.
A good crust for it.
Yeah,
it would be a better crust than just a graham cracker because it's got a lot more flavor. I mean, I'm not a Biscoff cookie fan, but I could see where that would make a good crust.
Because it's crunchy and not too sweet, and it's got a little body to it.
It's also National Frozen Food Day.
Mmm. That's,
Does anyone remember frozen TV dinners?
Oh, gosh. Those
were horrible.
I got around that by getting rid of the TV and replacing it with a real big, large a radio. So instead of having a TV dinner, I had a radio dinner.
Ah, did you eat the radio dinner?
I'm sure I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, Swanson had the best of those, right? And
would you believe, this is one of the amazing things of life, that is true, what you learned about the TV dinner, And I don't have any of the names in front of me because I didn't think we'd be talking about this.
Swanson's. I think that's the only one I can remember. Swanson's.
They invented it, and they just about were complete.
They were dinner.
And they pretty much own the entire
industry. Yeah.
But they have a New Orleans connection.
Yeah, I knew I was going to ask you that. I thought you had said that once before.
And they also have a connection with the wine country in California, in Napa, in fact.
Really?
And boy, I keep thinking I'm going to find all of these one day and just gorge on them.
Did the Swanson's frozen food people take some of their vast fortune from the frozen foods and start a winery? And what's the winery name?
Apparently they did.
What's the winery name?
Well, I wasn't expecting a question like that, but I'll look it up.
The Oracle can
the
look
Oracle.
It up for
Could
us.
Be.
That's
yeah.
what he's there for. Okay, well, that's actually not what he's there for, but he's kind enough to do that sometimes, most of the time. The Swanson food dinner, frozen food dinner that I remember is, and I'm picturing it right now.
Yeah, you had three
it was like aluminum foil.
That's what it was, yeah.
And it was a tray and it had dividers in it. And I remember that there was a frozen fried chicken.
Turkey dinner.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was the big one.
But there was mashed potatoes, and then they had those dreadful limp cubed carrots and peas, and corn maybe also. And I remember saying to myself, "This is not good," and then eating it anyway. What we had for dinner.
Well, when I was a kid, we loved them. I mean, they were so...
That's surprising. Well, you know, because your mom cooked a lot, so maybe that was just like a novelty for you. 260-6368 is the number. If you would like to get in on this topic of frozen food, I do love it. So give us a call. And you're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2. My little texter brigade.
Texter brigade.
Yeah, I get texts throughout the show from people who are listening but don't call. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I got was that... there was a brownie eventually added to that frozen TV dinner. So was the brownie frozen too, I guess?
Could be.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact.
The kind
Jack said, yeah, it was.
Jello.
Yeah, well,
the brownie was kept covered, along with the potatoes were kept covered, if I remember my TV dinners.
But yep, they were.
The whole etymology of the whole thing started with the C.A. Swanson and Sons, who were big into food for the armed forces during World War II. In 1950, they came out with the chicken and the turkey pot pie.
I love turkey pot pies.
And then in 1953, they started doing the little aluminum tray that you would shove into the oven and cook for whatever it is until you forgot about it. And... And that's when that happened. They sold 10 million of those things.
It was the biggest surprise in marketing media for a million years. It was really something.
In 1955, Campbell Soup bought them out.
Very quickly, yeah. The Campbell's people, they knew a gold brick when they saw one.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I'm surprised that we didn't eat more of those. Maybe we did.
We ate as. I mean,
no,
what
I'm talking about my family.
There's a book that has the history of. I don't know the name of it exactly,
uh-huh. but it, frozen
of,
food
of specifically TV dinners.
Now, you know, there was a. You had to, there's no way to say this without insulting you, Tom, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh, I'm easily insulted.
Well, no, but I mean, look, you said it yourself. You used to take the school bus through my neighborhood and say this is where the rich people live, right? Remember you said that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your mother cooked because she didn't have the money for the convenience culture, right? She cooked real food. Like my mom...
Yeah.
My mom, and we were by no means rich, okay? But my mom did the convenience culture. So she had all that TV dinner stuff and Terry's roast beef and frozen chicken pot pies and canned vegetables and potatoes out of the box and all that kind of stuff. But that cost more money than going to get potatoes at the store. You know what I mean?
Yeah, quite a bit. But on the other hand, it can be done the opposite way, where you have and this is how my mother did things.
There was Your mom cooked real food.
There was a little grocery store right across the street. I mean, you could have done it in 10 steps. And she would go in every day and she'd get, give me some of that beef and give me some of that pork. And she would take it across the street. The next day she would cook it all. And there it was. And everybody was happy. It's hard to tell somebody, hey, you're not supposed to be eating that.
And my mom said, give me a couple of cans of Vienna sausages and a couple of cans of boiled potatoes and a couple of cans of... the beans, canned pork and beans, and that was a meal for us. So I would say you're healthier than me, but you're not. But I did have a lot of trans fats growing up, I will say that. Nothing like a great frozen chicken pot pie, though. Again, started out with actual stuff, and as time wore on, the stuff disappeared and you were left with the gravy. Terry's roast beef. That's a convenience food if I ever saw one. Terry's roast beef. And my dad used to cook a really good roast beef for roast beef poor boys, as you've said so many times, but they decided to go with the convenience and the little bags of frozen Terry's roast beef were dropped in the pot of water, and that's what we had. And then as the years went on, there was less roast beef and more roast beef gravy. And after a while, it became just a couple of little hints of a shred or two of roast beef and mostly roast beef gravy. And the same was true of the frozen pot pies. Started out with a lot of chicken and ended up with chicken gravy and those sad, wilted, tiny cubed carrots and peas. That's what you had. I love pot pie, though. I love it. Haven't made it in a very long time. Haven't eaten it in a very long time. But I do love a good pot pie. I remember when I was in my pot pie making phase. Eric.
Eric
decided to call.
Come
on
in.
How nice of you.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hi there.
So, real quick on that Swanson Vineyard.
Uh-huh. That's not the name of it.
It is. There is a Swanson Vineyard.
It is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that word was actually used on
it? No, he's been there, apparently.
Yeah.
Where is it, Eric?
It's right up there by Camus.
Yeah.
But if I remember right, the guy used the family fortune because he was into grapes, and I think he went to Stanford or something like that. And I think his wife's from New Orleans.
There's definitely a connection. I know about that because I've read it four or five times in different books and magazines, and that seems to have been the case. But nobody thought anything about it. Here's a guy bringing some cash.
The Oracle will find it out. He's looking it up right now. I guarantee it.
Oh, okay. I may have my facts a little bit mixed up. I think they also are from Naples, Florida, and go. That's about as good as I can do, Marianne.
That's okay. The Oracle's on it. He's on it. He's going to have it for
us
in just a minute.
And if you ever have to do this again, at least come back with a good joke, would you?
That's one thing I'm horrendous at is good jokes.
Okie dokie. Yes, you are right, Eric, about the size of the Cheesecake Factory menu. It's good.
It's incredible.
I know. And it's good, too, don't you think?
I've never seen so many items. Well, I think it's, yeah.
I
do. I hate to admit it, but I do.
I know. Well, I don't hate to admit it because I'm not embarrassed to admit it. But yes, I think it's really good. And the little the pile of sliders, really good. They're just a little bit greasy on the buns, and then they have just a little dab of ketchup and then pickle. So it's kind of like the old McDonald's original burger, only good.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Put it on the to-try list.
You know what? We have to go to Brazza because I think on Friday they have a good burger.
It's walkable distance for me. Let's do it.
Okay, Friday. Let's get the troops together. All right, talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
All right, y'all be good. Take care.
Okay, here's the deal at Swanson's.
Yes.
Swanson Clark is his name. Was born in Nebraska, of course, of Swanson family. Went to Stanford University. Holds an M.S. in journalism, of course, learning all about wine, I guess. Anyway, he married, what's her name? Oh, boy, Pipes was her last name. And her family is seventh generation New Orleanians.
Huh.
And they were born. They were married in Naples, Florida.
Oh, wow.
In 1965. And then they went to Napa Valley in 1985, and purchased the Oakville property.
That's right in the middle of everything.
And to this day, he's never been a journalist.
I think he made the right choice. He made the right choice. This, what we're doing, or sitting out on his deck by the pool, or probably not a deck, just his vast holdings of the terrain out in Napa, sipping his wine. I think I could get into that. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Doug. As usual, you come through for us. But that, Eric, you hit it like on all the points. Naples, Florida, New Orleans. Good job. Eric could be the Oracle too, but I'm not suggesting that, Doug. He's busy anyway. 260-6368 is the number. We are hitting all the points all over the place here on the Food Show today. And if you would like to get in on that with us, do give us a call. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello. You are welcome to become a part of our little broadcast over here. It's the Food Show. That's what we call it because we couldn't think of any big numbers or words when we first started eating it back then. Our number is 260-6368. Are you okay?
I need to get rid of colds. Excuse me.
Oh,
folks.
Gosh. Do you already
it's like
have one?
One after another.
Well, you need
you
some.
You think I'm stressed or something? Yes. I don't need anything except conversation.
You're taking
conversation.
Some
vitamin C, yes.
Vitamin
and I will
C.
Take some more in a little bit.
Yeah.
We were talking, first of all, I guess Philip Lopez has poofed into the ether. We'll try to get him back at some point. But we're doing just fine. So thank you to Doug, who threw out some other things to talk about. We were talking about frozen foods, and that's kind of an interesting New Orleans connection. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit further. But Doug also mentioned that today was National Oreo Cookie Day.
Ooh.
And I want to, you don't like Oreos, Tom?
No.
Everybody loves Oreo. I don't eat any of that stuff.
I don't eat any
processed stuff. Nothing. I mean, I can't. I even as a kid when I didn't know any better, I knew better. But if you recall, there was another product that was not Oreos. It was called Hydrox.
Hydrox. Do you know there's a strange story about that?
Well, that's what I want to know, because my mother used to get Hydrox. And I'm wondering what happened that Oreo sort of just put Hydrox out of business. They are no more. And what transpired there? And if you ate both of those cookies, what was the difference, and which did you prefer?
Well, this is not a matter of just choice.
Not you, them, I want to hear the story that you have to offer about Hydrox versus Oreos.
Yeah, the main fact that you wouldn't expect to hear is that when that appeared on the scene.
Which one?
Well, it was Hydrox and Oreos.
Were they? Did they appear on the scene at the same time?
They look very similar.
Uh-huh.
And you had the black outside, you had the white stuff in the middle, and then you know another one at the bottom of that. Believe it or not, Hydrox is quite a bit older than Oreos was, and they kept on going for years and years after that, but I think they're gone now. And it was...
I don't think they're gone, because I'm looking them up right now, and there is a package, Hydrox Cookies Master Pack, on eBay.
I used to buy them just to be doing this with my nose.
Debuted in 1908 and was manufactured by Sunshine Biscuits for 90 years.
Well, there you are. There's your story.
Well, let's see, because it says the similar Oreo. It looks like it's getting ready to tell us the story. Doug, can you pull it up? Because my phone's not letting me pull it up. But I'm very curious about this because... the sad history of Hydrox cookies, which were probably better. Let's see. The sad history of Hydrox cookies, which were probably doomed because they were called Hydrox.
They were less sweet. I remember that. Yeah.
It says, let's see. It says, Tedium, a twice-weekly newsletter that hunts for... the end of the long tail. When you think of dark sandwich-like cookies, a creamy white center, you probably think of Oreos, in part because Nabisco is so good at marketing. But if you take a look off to the side in the grocery store, you might see one brand in particular that, in fact, was invented 4 years before Oreos, a cookie brand that looks remarkably similar. That brand would be Hydrox, the second banana of the cookie aisle, which these days simply can't compete against the marketing juggernaut that is Oreo, even
can't
if it
touch
did
it.
Get a bit of a head start. So it looks like it's still around.
Yes, it is.
It may be,
yeah.
And if it was. I'll tell you where I ran into it. There was an article that played the whole thing as kind of an entree of thinking, but Esquire magazine did like about a 15 page article about this and made a big fuss over it. And they said that the whole thing was hinged on the designs on the top and bottom of both of these. Because if you look at them, there's all kinds of funny little diagrams.
Ridges around the edge.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's an interesting story, not a very,
Well, if they're still around.
Well, I tell you what the story is here. Hydrox was put out by Kellogg's, as a matter of fact, for a long time. Incidentally, it was invented in, 1800s, as a matter of fact. 1882, yes, you're right.
Imagine.
And, Kellogg wasn't interested in doing Hydrox anymore. It was bought by another
Sunshine Biscuits.
Yeah, well, sort of like that. But Kassoff is the person who reformulated them, as a matter of fact. And they, in their Hydrox as it is today, which is kosher, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
And it's reformulated. And Hydrox wasn't, or the Kellogg's wasn't interested in putting Hydrox out anymore. So this guy named Kassoff says, okay, I'll take it. And Kellogg says, okay. And so Hydrox is Hydrox, but not in its original form. Mm. It's been reformulated.
When was it reformulated?
2014.
Oh, so really recently.
Correct.
Huh. Well, you know, it's really, marketing is such a fascinating thing. There was this company that, when you started in the radio, this would be 30 years ago, Mark Winston, who owned the station, WSMB back then, was in the advertising business, and he was a Jewish guy from New York, and they all had friends that were successful business people in that era, in that time. And there was a guy that they knew who had bought up this defunct, hanging on by a, well, not defunct, but like breathing its last gasp. And the company was called Gold Bond, and he bought $5 radio ads all across the country and brought this sad little Gold Bond product back from the dead just by blanketing the airwaves with advertising that he bought for, you know, pennies on the dollar. So advertising really does make a difference, and that was the problem here. Oreo just had a lot more money to spend on their marketing.
Mm.
But now I want to go and get a bag of Hydrox and a bag of Oreos and have a tasting, but I don't want to eat them. So
oh,
maybe
that,
we'll have some people in the studio to taste now, them, and they won't know the difference.
Here's the thing, that the Hydrox are less sugary.
I'd probably like those a lot better.
I wonder if that's
why they're more popular, the Oreos, because people really dig sugar.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
As well they should.
Well, I don't know. That's interesting. Huh. Now I'm curious. I got to go buy some Hydrox and make myself eat one.
Yeah.
Although it's really an appalling concept, I have to say.
Well, Esquire said that what we've come up with here is actually true, and it lasted a while, and then it was around too long, and then the sugar was going down. Everything you say, so that's truth.
Huh? Does anybody eat Hydrox cookies out there? Like I said, my mom used to really like the Hydrox. We never had Oreos in the house, and you know what else she always really liked was she was big into that. That, what was it, Big 60? It was like this gigantic magilla of cookies called a Big 60.
Hmm.
And the other one that she liked was, it's the same company that marketed all of them, but it was, Chips Ahoy. Yeah, Chips Ahoy. So these are all boring. I don't know. I guess I'm a snob, but I would bake my own stuff if I needed to eat that. I would just do that. I can't bring myself to buy supermarket stuff like that. 260-6368 is the number. That is what will get you here to talk about things like the difference between Hydrox
and Oreos. We've figured it all out, and now we're fixed for life.
And this is actually why it is also National Dentist's Day.
Because
if you eat enough of those kinds of cookies, you need to go to the dentist. Is that the point, Doug?
And who is the dentist?
You know, I was talking about chicken pot pies. We were talking about chicken pot pies with frozen foods. You know, the other day, I was hungry and I was driving and it was morning and, you know, it's funny, I use things as fast food that most people wouldn't use things as fast food for. Like, I'll drive into the drive-up at Zia and get hummus and drive away, or I would pop into Trey Yen and get some fried rice and drive away, but never into like a McDonald's or something like that. So I was hungry and I passed La Madeleine and I thought, you know what? I love their
tomato onion soup.
No, I love their
quiche. Were famous for that.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. Quiche Lorraine, which a long time ago was kind of like a hand pie. It was a small little pie, and it was in puff pastry, and it was flaky puff pastry, too. And I was really disappointed. And they were like $5. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm gonna get this. This will tide me over until whenever I need to eat again. So I popped in, and I was surprised to see that the pies were not small like they were. They were not $5. They were $6.49. And that's not a complaint because it was a much bigger pie, but it was not nearly as good. They don't do the puff pastry anymore. They do this basic pie crust in an actual pie shell, like, you know, the one that you would buy at the store and bake a pie in. And it wasn't nearly as good, and I was very disappointed. Has anyone else had that experience at La Madeleine? Does anyone go to La Madeleine? I kind of like it myself, but I don't go very often.
When they first came into the area, I used to go there fairly often because I like their their sort of...
Huh? Tom, you went to La Madeleine like a chain?
Well, it was.
No, I'm saying it's good, but you always used to... be so disdainful of chains. So go ahead.
Well,
you went to La Madeleine.
Some things were better than others.
I always thought it was good. I still think it's good. But anyway,
I do too.
But I think they have a great salad and a roast chicken. It's really good.
We had the guy who was running it at the time on this program.
Yeah, I remember that.
This would have been about 30-something years
ago. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That we did that. So, but anyway, we were going to, let's see, what was the plan there?
La Madeleine.
Oh, La Madeleine, right. And so we had the people who ran that, who, by the way, were military guys. And
really?
And they, so we had them on the show, and we talked about all the things that people were asking about. And one of them was this a cookbook that they had.
Oh, they had a cookbook?
They had a cookbook.
A La Madeleine cookbook?
Yeah. And that was great because people were always asking me, where can you get that those biscuits? That was part of it.
And they have those really good puff pastries, cheese strips.
Yeah,
those
and,
are good.
And also for their steaks. Oh, not steaks.
They have good pastries too.
Yeah, this was. They wanted to have a recipe for the. There's a word everybody knows it, and I'm not...
quiche.
Quiche. No, it was bigger than that. It was the salad dressing, which was an
it is good.
Yeah. Well, the guy who represented...
Oh, as a matter of fact, as I think about it, that's really good salad dressing.
The guy
it was a
comes
French
over,
vinaigrette. And very salty, though.
And he wanted to do that salad, Caesar salad.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, that's great to hear it because the number one dish that people have ever asked me for on this program are your collection of that
salad dressing.
The salad dressing. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, sure, we'll give that to you. And he handed me a little,
very small.
Yeah.
Why didn't you keep it?
And, well, I didn't know much about it at the time. Huh. But they did get something. They got a recipe how to do it, and also it had no recipe in it itself.
Mm.
It was strange. They said, "Oh yeah, we'll take care of you on that. Everybody likes it." I said, "I know. That's why everybody wants to get some."
Uh-huh.
But we couldn't get past
it's
the.
It's really good. French vinaigrette is hard to beat for a salad dressing. A simple French vinaigrette is really, really delicious. But I think La Madeleine is very good.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And I think they do a good job. Their salads are good. Their roast chicken is good. Really, I haven't had anything there that I didn't like. But you know who's come on the scene?
Tell us.
Definitely since La Madeleine is kind of a ripoff of La Madeleine and is not present here to my knowledge. But,
oh, not that.
Le Pain Quotidien.
Tomorrow's biscuits? No, that was close to what that means, but not exactly.
Yes. Anyway, you see them in the more populous areas, and I don't like them as much as La Madeleine, but I'm kind of curious, does anybody else prefer Le Pain Quotidien over La Madeleine? And if you are not even familiar with that, don't worry about it. I don't think that you'll see them here. But it's another French chain of bakery slash.
And they do
breakfast.
Really full dinners there. They had all kinds of salads and salads.
Well, the Madeleine does. I don't think Le Pain is quite as much. They have. It's more like a breakfast lunch kind of place. Come to think of it, the more I think about it, the more I do think I like it a lot.
Well, help yourself.
Yeah, it's much more expensive than Le Madeleine. Le Pain is more expensive than Le Madeleine. I would imagine that people who go to the Gulf Coast, the beachgoers on the Gulf Coast, have probably seen Le Pain. They probably have them over there. Actually, I'm going to look up and see what states they're in. I don't think they're anywhere near here. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to talk to us. As usual, we're talking about nothing much at all, but it does
with
food.
It's been a pretty good show.
It does have to do with food.
Well, I have something that has something to do with food here, and I offer it to you.
What's that?
The Bonton, which I'm sure to a lot of people has...
Bonton's last day today.
Yep, and... And wait, we just learned that who is here? Oh, Stephen.
Stephen, come on in. We just have a few minutes.
Hey, Bonton's closing.
Is what?
Closing.
The Bonton?
Yeah.
Yeah, closes tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to the salad station out in Kenner today.
Yes.
And it was. Everything was good quality. Everything just was absolutely perfect to meat, and you know, even the meat and the shrimp and that sort of were all good. $7.79 a pound or something.
I think that's a good concept. If you want to eat something healthy, I think there's nothing at all wrong with that.
Yeah. And at 2 o'clock this afternoon, half the dining room was full. So, I mean, somebody must be eating it.
I think a lot of people are eating it. And why not? I mean, it's good. Salad is good, you know.
Yeah.
Salad can be really good. So.
Yeah. And what have we heard about the fiery crab? The parking lot is full all the time.
Well, I went to the fiery crab the other day just to peek in because I was out there. And and it's, you know, it's kind of like a, it looks to me like a fast casual place, but I was told it is not. It is much bigger on the inside than you think. And the parking lot is indeed full. It's perfect for where it is.
Where
and
is
I
this?
Think it's going to do very well. The Fiery Crab.
The Fiery Crab. Where is that?
There. It's out in Kenner next to the Golden Corral. It has. It is part of a... It's part of a group of restaurants, I want to say out of Baton Rouge maybe, but they're all over now. There's like, I don't know, six or seven of them in Louisiana. It's a Louisiana chain.
But it's always, I'll go by around 11 o'clock and the parking lot's full.
Always, yeah, always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. Anyway. And I mean, I would thought, well, it can't be all employees' cars.
No, it's not a very big parking lot, though, but it is it is very popular. It's very popular.
Yeah. Is it expensive?
I didn't look at the menu, but...
you didn't eat there?
I didn't eat there, no. I just was out there. I was out there on other business, and I popped my head in to have a look at it, and that's... You know, it's very basic. It's not... It's fine. It's just very basic. You know, I would say that it's kind of like a fast food place in look and decor, but it's not.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, I think that's it.
Okay.
Take care. Have a good evening. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back here on Monday. WUL, 105.3 FM, HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.